Let's talk. John Brown. The football. Amazing mathematics of the world's most watched objects. I've never really thought about this before because we see footballs all the time. It's on, football is on our TV. It's a national, international, global religion. But have you actually thought about the mathematics behind the humble football? Well, the man who can tell us all about this is Etienne Gis, and I'm delighted to say that he joins me live on the line from Paris now. Etienne, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me this morning. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you are so qualified to write about the mathematics of the football. And by the way, I failed my maths exams twice. So you're talking to a complete Philistine.
Okay, I forgive you. Let me tell you, I am not at all a football fan.
Right.
But I am a mathematics fan.
Okay.
My goal, my job is to show mathematics to the general public. And one of the objects that we all know is the football. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to the people that the football is a mathematical object. Did you notice that already?
I've never ever thought of the football as a mathematical object, Etienne. So explain to me, again, somebody who knows, to whom maths is another language, my friend. So explain to me why, how you can make maths exciting for me.
You know, the standard football with black pieces and white pieces. Can I ask you a question? How many black pieces? How many white pieces?
On a football, 12 each?
No, 12 and 20. And that's a very interesting question because this object has been studied 2,000 years ago by Plato. Mm-hmm. It's a very symmetric object. The first time it was used was by, it's called the Telstar. It was international competition in Mexico in 1970.
Brazil, Italy, etc. The famous, the most beautiful World Cup ever.
It was called Telstar because it was a star of the TV. The first time in history where you could see competitions on TV. Uh-huh. And so that's the first object. And my amazing fact is that footballs are different at every competition. The standard one that you all know with black and white pieces is not the only one. For example, I love Brazil. I spent a long time in Brazil. And I can tell you that the official World Cup ball for the Brazilian competition was very different. It did not have 20 and 12 pieces. It has 6 pieces only. And each competition, each World Cup has a different ball with different geometry. And I wanted to show in my book how beautiful they are.
Because when I was a schoolboy back in the 70s, we had footballs, or you know, which were leather, and now they would be banned. I mean, maybe this is the reason I'm bad at maths, because too much heading of a very heavy football. Maybe it stunned my maths load or whatever.
I remember very well the first time I saw the Brazilian football. I was amazed because I said to my wife, look, it's a cube. She thought I'm completely crazy. Maybe I am. But I wanted to say that when you look at the football, the Brazilian football, it's like a cube with 6 square faces.
Right.
Except that the squares are not flat. They are curved. And the Brazilian football, called bazooka, is made of 6 shapes, very beautiful shapes, which are assembled to produce something which is almost a sphere.
So the look of the football is not just cosmetic. It's not just because it looks nice and will show up well on the television screens. There's actually a mathematical reason why the Brazilian football is made like that, and that's perhaps why the Brazilians can be so skillful in their play?
Yes, every shape has different behavior in space. You know, some football players hate the Brazilian one and love the the Telstar, and there are many, many different shapes. For example, the Russian competition was also very different. So what I wanted to say to my readers, that balls have geometry, and we should look at balls instead of kicking them.
Interesting you see Plato, you say Plato, because if you like, a circle or a sphere is an infinite, is a universal object with no end, which is obviously fascinating as well, because it is that we call things the perfect circle, the perfect sphere. It is, if you like, it is eternal, Etienne.
Good point. You are very clever. In the classical philosophy, the sphere is the symbol of perfection. And this was the perfect object in the last 2,000 years. And mathematicians love the sphere. And let me tell you, the name, the official mathematical name for the football is called a truncated icododecahedron.
A truncated?
Icododecahedron. Ico means 12 in Greek. And dodeca means, ico means 20, and dodeca means 12. So it's a very complicated name. These objects are famous among mathematicians.
So when it comes to designing a new ball, do you look at, you know, the geometry? Because I just thought they think, okay, we have a football, maybe we, because we have a new sponsor or a new brand, or did you look at the why and how much size? So when they're designing a football, they are thinking, okay, we'd like this one to be light so that people can take a free kick from the other side of the pitch. I mean, tell me.
The first point is, of course, a marketing question. It has to be beautiful and has to be fancy. And the second point is that you want it to be symmetrical. You know, if you take a football, it has many faces and you can put it in many different positions in space and it looks the same. We call that symmetry. Mm-hmm. So if you want a football which is not symmetric, it will not be a good ball. So the main point in designing a ball, first, has to be beautiful. Two, it has to be a question of marketing. And three, it has to be highly symmetric.
We talk about, there are other facts as well. I was talking to about the Spitfire, the aeroplane yesterday, with my guest yesterday. He was talking about drag and streamlining and how a body goes through the air. And if you remember Roberto Carlos against France, and I know you're from Belgium, so you will be smiling about that one. So, but the ball seemed to do something that was, if it didn't break the laws of physics, it bent them very, very, it made a curve to them and brought them and tied them like Solomon's knot. So explain about drag and friction and, you know, and streamlining, please, Adina.
I have a specific chapter on my book on this question with a description of the Roberto Carlos historical goal. It was a really fantastic moment. Let me make a point. This is not a mathematical question. It's a physical question. Many people, including you, are making a confusion between mathematics and physics. The behavior of a ball in the air, in the atmosphere, is a physical question. And there is something called the drag effect, which means that if you kick a ball, of course, the air is imposing a drag force, a resistance. And if you increase the velocity at a very specific velocity, for some reason that I have no time to explain, the resistance drops. All of a sudden, the resistance is lower. And this is what happened in the Roberto Carlos case.
So presumably, if you kick a ball, there's a kinetic force to begin with, and then as the force decreases because it's going further away, that changes the properties of the drag through the air?
Exactly. Have a look at my book. Read my book, please.
Yeah. Just also, you mentioned about, because we talked about Mexico. Now, Mexico was very high in sea level, atmosphere. So if I'm playing football, I don't know, if I'm playing football on the beach in Marbella, which I can see if I stand on my desk, I can see the Mediterranean, that's sea level. If I'm playing football in the Andes, presumably the ball will act differently because of the atmosphere.
Because of the pressure.
Yeah.
Actually, if you get to the official rules of football, you see that the, I think on purpose, the rules are not precise. For example, the size of the ball is between two limits, not very precise, and the inside pressure is not well defined, and the weight of the ball is not precise. I think the football fans love that. Balls are different from field to field, and the behavior of the balls is different from field to field. So this is makes some spirit to the game.
So far, we have the mathematical properties of the football, but it's just not a book about if you hit kick a football here or what makes a football, or if it's an ionic dodecahedron or excuse me, but also the people behind this, you know, the scientists, the sports insiders. Because when you say sports insiders, people think Sepp Blatter, Platini, etc. So who are the people that you look at and why are they so remarkable?
I believe that the players know nothing about mathematics. And this is probably the most interesting fact of my book, to give some mathematical insight to my readers and to the players. And I have to say that the new balls, which are designed every 4 years, they are created by engineers. And these engineers know a lot of mathematics. And they know a lot of physics. And this is very important to know that.
So does FIFA have a section to create football? So I had never thought of this.
Oh, no. This is not FIFA. This is Adidas.
Ah.
All balls since 1970 have been designed by Adidas. I tried to contact them to get information. And they deny any information. It's kind of sick.
It's a conspiracy, Etienne. It's a conspiracy by the football manufacturers.
Well, you know, there's a lot of money behind that, huh?
Yeah, of course. So does this mean, Etienne, when you watch a football match, you know, when I watch a football match, I'm watching my team, I'm watching defense, I'm shouting at the referee, et cetera. Are you watching a football going, I know how this match is kind of going to play end because I can see that football. I know what the pressure is of the air. I know do you look at football differently? And
Let me tell you, the truth is that if 1% of football players could be a little bit more mathematicians, I would be happy.
So is
one per thousand, maybe.
is the aim then of the football, the amazing mathematics of the world's most watched object, is the aim to, because, you know, for me, like I said, I know nothing about maths. Maths has always been a different language. You know, I'm the history guy because history can be sexy. Are you going to try and to show that maths, you know, is also sort of bring maths into, because many people will think math, algebra, I've got a smartphone. I don't need mathematics.
What I want to say is that math is sexy, as sexy as history. And I want to show that. I want to show that mathematics is everywhere, including in the soccer, football that we meet every day. So that, as a mathematician, every day I look around me, I see mathematics everywhere, including on the ball.
I never thought talking about football we would bring into it Plato, and you know we're almost quantum with this. It's been fascinating to speak to you this morning, Etienne. If people want to find more information, do you have a website? Do you dazzle people on TikTok, for example? How can people find you?
Okay, thank you very much.
The book is called The Football, The Amazing Mathematics of the World's Most Watched Objects. You can order it, listeners, by clicking on our own virtual bookstore in the website on our TRE.radio. And if you just key in Etienne's name, and I'm sure that he will come up on your search engine. The book is called The Football. Fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.